Hello, welcome. This is Between Two Worlds podcast. My name is Luke, and this is episode 42. So we're doing something special. We brought Daniel Markin onto this one.
Is that what's special about it?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Daniel.
Great to be here, Luke. Thank you for having me on. This is kind of, I felt kind of guilted into doing this because you may have heard of the show that I run, the Extra Podcast.
Wow, Dan, tell us a little about that show.
And that's a typical show. You know, some people know about it. Some, you know, international.
What channel is it on?
It's a podcast.
Oh, that kind
of
show.
No, the Extra Podcast is kind of the pastor's podcast that's been going on for a couple of years here at Northview, where they often discuss the sermon or sometimes people email in questions. Anyways, I'm involved with that, and I've had Luke on it the last couple of times, so I felt guilted about getting on here.
You feel like you owe him something.
Yeah, I felt like I owed him something, so here's me paying it forward.
That's you don't true. Have to stay. You don't. The door's right there.
No, I might not stay, Gitch. Mm. That's. I'm here, though, and we'll see. Mm. Depends how it goes.
Are you a friend of the show?
I am a friend of the show, but I wouldn't say I'm really a listener.
What do you mean, really?
Of the show.
Have you ever listened to an episode?
I dabble.
What do you mean you dabble?
I don't know, in recent memory, but I've listened to it.
You like the Here's the Thing segment. I know you do.
Well, I wait, because I live the Here's the Thing segment, because you guys come back up, and then Luke describes it for me. Because in the office.
Luke, you should stop that, and he can listen to it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You guys could get another subscriber for the program.
We have enough. But one more doesn't hurt.
One more.
So we also have Annalie here, and Andrew, as usual.
Yep.
So today, I'm going to be honest, everybody. The only reason we have Daniel here is because Daniel's a good ranter.
Oh, man.
Daniel can say some things that other people aren't brave enough to think or aren't bold enough to say in the public sphere. But Daniel, are you scared?
Luke, if I was scared, I wouldn't be in the business of podcasting.
That's so true. So... Yeah. For first segment, here's the thing with Daniel Markin.
Now, explain to me how Here's the Thing works.
Oh, you don't even know. Okay.
No, clearly I don't listen to our podcast.
I want the full rules.
Here's the Things work is you start off by saying, here's the thing. Last time, mine was on lemons. So I'm like, here's the thing. Lemons, I don't think belong in desserts. And I talked about how I don't like lemons in dessert things.
Mm-hmm. And I strongly disagree.
And then Annalie comes back and disagrees. Andrew supports me. Ron disagrees. And then Ron starts talking about how a lemon can get the scum off a boat.
The thing is with Here's the Thing is that it's whoever's Here's the Thing it is, they have the final word. Because that's the point.
It's your thing.
You don't have to agree with them. So whatever you're
but
about
I get to I get the final word.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if I've done this rant in public. Or maybe in public I have. I don't know if I've done it on radio.
You say, here's the thing.
Okay.
There you go.
I need absolute silence before I start. Here's the thing. Greek food is probably the most overrated food that anyone can eat. And for some reason, people find it like their life's business that as soon as I critique Greek food just a little bit, just saying, you know, maybe Greek food isn't as good as you thought it was. People, for whatever reason, would go to level 99 in defending Greek food. And there's no reason to be defending Greek food. Okay, let's break it down. First, what is it? Dry chicken with a couple herbs on it? The chicken's so good. Yeah, I'm sure it is. They're like, and then... the next thing is, what else do you know about Greek food? Okay, have you ever eaten the Greek potatoes? Yeah, I have. They're boiled potatoes with lemon juice. I wonder how the lemon juice got in there. Maybe by accident because some large Greek man chef, you know, imagine he's sweaty, he's hairy, he's in the back room, knocks a little bit of lemon juice in the potatoes and says, oh, this tastes better than what I had before. I guess we'll keep going with this. And they serve it to you and you overpay for it. And then when people will say, well, you haven't had good Greek food. That's because good Greek food, I don't think it exists. And they say, well, don't you like tzatziki? And I'll say, what? You mean the garlic yogurt that you have to put on it to mask the bland taste of Greek food? You take away tzatziki, you don't have, what do you have? Just lemon potatoes and chicken.
But what about the rice? You're forgetting the rice.
Okay, what is the rice? It's so...
lemony and just...
There you go, same story. Oh, knocked some lemon juice into the rice.
I don't believe it's an accident, though.
No. Here's the thing. So...
Wow, this was actually one of the best times I've heard you talk about this.
Okay, what is because the thing?
Very passionate.
Because Greek, and but whatever reason, people find it, like Annalie, I think you are one of the ones that, my nemesis in this, you find you have to defend it. People will defend it like crazy.
Only when I you don't call think people, it, only when you call it like the most overrated. So you're actually
you're giving ultimatums.
You're not just like, oh, no, I'm just attacking it a little bit.
See, here you are. This you're the type A person who's defending it. No, you're defending it. Like you think it's the best thing. So this is what people do. Is they'll start to defend Greek food like Annalie is doing right now. How often do you think you eat Greek food? If you're like, I'm going to go and spend a lot of money on some food, you going to pick Greek food? Probably not.
I'm like twice
and
a year.
And you wonder
because
it's so
guy.
Bland, it's so. And then you look at the Greek economy and you say, "Huh, I see a correlation."
We eat Greek salad at least once a week in
Italy,
our house.
You have pizza, you have spaghetti, you have all kinds of things. Have you ever had Indian food? There's flavor, but then you get to Greek food, and it's tzatziki.
Are you Greek?
No.
Oh, what are you?
I'm Russian and Ukrainian.
Are you serious?
I'm a blend.
Ukrainian.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's lemon and garlic and basil and oregano. At least get those four.
What other cuisine, though, do you get lamb in abundance? Mm.
I will say that lamb is one of the saving graces of Greek food.
And feta cheese. Oh, so good.
But Greek salad is, ugh.
I love Greek salad. Talk about flavor.
Bad breath.
I'll give you that. I don't know, man. You seem to have some strong opinions on this. I can't say I back you up here.
But you can't say that you could argue against it either. So I feel like you're one of the middle of the road people who doesn't really care for Greek food.
If you're taking me out for Greek food, I will not object.
But if I'm paying, if I make you pay, are you going to want to go out for Greek food?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Mostly because I'm cheap and it's pretty expensive.
Exactly.
Although I'll say
and
this.
What are you paying for? Lemony potatoes.
Oh, but the pitas. Oh, man. Warm, yes. Crisp. Oh,
they're pretty dry. Mm. It's nothing in comparison to naan bread. Which is actually, they can put stuff in naan bread. Sometimes they put coconut. Sometimes they put raisins in it.
So shameless
all this to
plug.
Say, I feel like Greek food hasn't evolved. It's just stayed the same.
But shameless
the Greeks
plug
were incredible in the
Greek
ancient
islands.
World.
Am I right? Greek islands in town here? There's like two or three or four of them. It's great.
Obviously lots of people like it, Daniel.
I think a lot of people feel pressured into liking Greek food.
So they go spend their money on it?
Yeah.
You know what? I know people who work there, and they're happy about it. So,
what a good. Here's the thing, Dan. Thank you.
Do I get the last word?
That is your last. Oh, okay. Yeah, go.
The last word is this. Turkey comes second on that list. Turkey
okay,
dinner
that's,
is also
that's,
pretty
Dan. That's for another
overrated.
Time. Dan, that's for another okay. time. You can't. Here's the thing. But let's dive into a bit of what's been going on at the Mission Campus. Gitch, what's happening? Middle school, high school. What's going on?
All kinds of fun stuff. So you don't want to hear about middle school. Let's be honest. You guys are here because you're concerned about high schoolers. So in our high school ministry, we're finishing up. Spring break is upon us. It's just around the corner, a couple weeks away. So we're finishing up our series called Here's the Thing. And we're getting ready for our last couple weeks here. And we're looking at different excuses or different roadblocks that seem to stunt the growth of our faith. Things that we put in the way of following Jesus more fully. So we might make excuses for being too busy or, you know, I don't know the Bible enough or, oh, if you know, Jesus, if you only knew the things that I've done in my past, then you would know that I'm not worthy. But here's the thing. Jesus does know the stories of your past. That's it. Here's the thing for next week. Anyways, so that's coming up. Spring break, which is a couple weeks long. It's going to be good. We got a leader training meeting and then we get back into it after spring break, after Easter in the month of April. And then it's hard to believe, but it's only about 6-8 more weeks. And then the year's wrapped up.
Wow.
June will be here before you know it.
Crazy.
Wow. Annalie? Yes, I said it. I said June. I said the J word.
It's a good word. Annalie, what's happening in high school?
We started a new series last week with Levi speaking on the Gospel of Mark. And this week, we're actually doing community group service projects at MCC. So we're really excited to get out there, give some time to serve in our community, get our kids washing, cleaning, organizing, packing. It'll be fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Good, good. Sounds good. And Dan, what do you do?
I'm a pastoral intern here at the church, so I'm working on my master's. Oh, I lost my headphones. I'm working on my master's degree here at the church, as well as working part-time. And so I study a little bit. I do a little bit of preaching here and there. Do the, you know, obviously the extra podcast.
And then what do you do on your Thursday nights?
My Thursday nights, I volunteer with Northview High School Youth.
Wow.
With the grade 12s.
Grade 12s, and you've been with them for what, 2 years?
Yeah, since they're grade 11s.
Grade 11s.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy it, Dan?
I actually do. I really do enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I often think, oh man, because you can think about, and I would say this to anyone who is thinking about doing youth leading, you're like, oh, another night of my week that's taken.
Mm.
But it actually is just a lot of fun. Because one, hanging with all the leaders is a good time. So you're with all your friends. And two, the kids are great and the kids become your friends. Mm. And so you actually just have a lot of fun with them. And I believe in what you guys are doing.
Oh, cool.
So, and I know how big of an impact it was on my life. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm a big advocate.
Friend of the show, friend of the youth group.
Friend of the show, friend of the youth group, and excited to be doing it.
Ah, that's just great news. Yeah, Dan's one of our volunteers, so more than happy to have him part
of
this program.
If you were to rank
program.
Me on as a volunteer, Luke,
don't do
what?
It.
I'm asking. This is what the people want. The
rank
people
you
want,
what?
You know, how am I doing volunteer-wise?
I think by virtue of the
would
fact
you bring
that
me back?
He has a set of keys, that bumps him up into the top tier just by default.
I'd bring you back.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, I'd hire you back. Going off that book, I'd hire you back. You're a hire back kind of guy.
Did you guys talk about the book last time?
No.
Okay. The good book.
The Bible. I mean, we do talk about the Bible. But now we're going to get into our...
The Greek meat, the veal, the chicken, the...
Can I say one last thing about that?
No.
Okay. We're going to get right into the meat of things. And I was scrolling through Facebook, and I was seeing that this country in Africa, in this one specific city, I can't remember where, all these girls were getting self-defense training. And all the boys were learning how to respect women. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. All these young girls are getting the tools to fight off attackers. And then I'm like, we don't see that often in our culture, unless you guys do, but I don't particularly see it. And so I was just more so wondering, what is our view on violence? Because we see something like happened in Parksville with the violence that took place there with the guns, and then all the pushback now that's happening with gun control, and then a lot of people saying, no, I want to carry guns.
You mean Florida, right?
Florida, yeah. Parksville, Florida.
Oh, is that the name of the town?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Isn't I just it? Keep hearing the name of the high school. I never knew the name of the town.
Isn't it, or is it?
I don't know. I just know it's in Florida.
No, Florida. And
there's so many of them these days that honestly.
You don't know. There's so many.
Or, yeah.
You're specifically talking about the one
in
most
Florida.
Recently that
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
17 casualties and many hit.
The high school.
Of, yeah.
And. Yeah, so it's just like super sad to hear about, and is that something that parents should be worried about here? Is this something that parents should talk about? I had a girl in my youth group for 4 years who actually carried a knife with her everywhere she went, and I didn't find this out till she was in grade 12, and I'm like, is this normal? And she said, yes, this is normal, and I'm like, wow, I don't think so. So our parents... What kind of things do, I mean, Gitch, I don't know if you have any experience with this. I mean, of course you're not teaching Mason already.
You're not talking about the knife in my pocket, are you?
No.
Okay.
But just like a lot of safety, self-defense, or in the whole idea of violence, like how do Christians view violence? What should we talk about it? Like if there's bullying, physical bullying on the playground. So I want to start off, self-defense, is that something that parents should put their kids into? Or is that something case by case or what?
I think it's a very multi-layered, very deep discussion that it could potentially go. And I know oftentimes the Anabaptists and the Mennonites specifically are, I wouldn't say accused, but they have a reputation for being pacifists. And we throw that word around. I don't think we always understand what it means. Pacifism just says that basically under no circumstances will you ever respond violently. So even... An extreme pacifist would say that if your kid was to go walk towards the edge of a cliff or walk towards, you know, a fireplace or somewhere of imminent danger, that as a parent, if you're a true pacifist, you wouldn't even use force, physical force, to swoop them out of that situation. You would let them suffer the consequences.
Or talk them.
Right.
Through
it. You would use other means necessary to other than a physical force to
but then
stop them.
But then there'd be other interpretations where violence is something that is intending to cause harm to someone, but there's a difference between incapacitating someone and causing harm.
Sure, yeah.
So it's like, Andrew, you were attacking me.
Which I am capable of.
Capable of.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
If there'd be one, me to defend it by just keep repeatedly punching the face, trying to get you to hurt, or for me to grab you in some kind of hold so you couldn't attack me anymore.
Right.
Which might hurt you, mm-hmm. but it wasn't meant to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meant to stop you.
I think at the heart of pacifism, I studied this in a just war theory class that I took in university. And at pacifism used to mean you seek every means possible not to engage in uh-huh. combat, like when you talk about countries. But if it gets to the point where the other people are attacking, then you have the right to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. And so that would go with, I think, just war theory. And whatnot, which is, a deeper rabbit trail. But the idea of my understanding of pacifism is you're seeking every alternative
right.
before you have to engage in some sort of self-defense. Whereas I think a lot of people like to tease out, well, I'm never going to actually defend myself, which I think is a really, I don't know how to deal with that. So I brought this up to a professor I had, and I gave him the illustration, right? Because I would talk with some of my buddies in college about this. And, you know, so you imagine you're in a village in Africa, you're visiting, you're spending time there, and you start to see these, like, the dust in the distance, and you hear the sound of engines and the sound of gunfire. And you realize that there's a bunch of jeeps of men from different, whatever organization, bunch of this enemy is coming, and they're coming to shoot up the town, they're going to take the women and children away. And so you're like a Christian missionary there. One of the townspeople gives you a rifle or gives you a rocket launcher and says, defend. Is it wrong to try and defend them? Because you know the alternative, if you stand there, there's a good chance you're just going to die and these people are going to be taken away into the horror. Or if you have the shot, can you take it and actually help these people? And I asked this to my professor and he said, do you know, he said that it's more unloving not to. To just give them to that fate, which was interesting because I still don't know what to make of it. And I just think about, in my own position, what would you do? But if someone broke into your house and was trying to attack your family, I'm sure you'd step in. Mm-hmm. The intent is not to kill the person, right? Be to incapacitate them.
Yeah.
But if you pushed them down the stairs and they broke their neck and died, mm-hmm. that wasn't your intention to kill them, but that was that happened.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the discussion is, I mean, yeah, it is college levels and university and master degree levels worth of content. And so
right.
you're talking specifically, though, within the context of a school or
a school setting,
of a public place.
Public place. Mm-hmm. I mean, Daniel's example is a good example of in order to have an ideology behind it of what you do, mm-hmm. But bringing it down to a practical level, what do we teach kids in a class setting where kids are physically getting picked on, bullied? Is it something to be like, okay, because you see movies and you see like dads taking their sons into the garage and like, just punch me right in the face as hard as you can. That's what you're going to do that kid. Or putting them into self-defense classes. Or I think of the movie Drill Bit Taylor. Is about this ex-army guy who teaches these nerdy kids how to fight because they always get picked on.
Or Napoleon Dynamite with Rex Kwando.
Yeah. Yeah. Like stuff like that. Is that something that Christians should teach their kids? Or is it, kids, turn the other cheek and let God have the last word?
I think that when it comes to self-defense classes, I don't think they're a bad idea. I think for the most part, a self-defense class can teach a lot of confidence for kids and whether they're actually going to use their kicks and whatever. I never took self-defense. I don't know. But if they're going to use that, it can give them the confidence that in a situation, they can remain calm and then assess what to do. Because I think, generally speaking, bringing aggression to any sort of fight doesn't usually help things. But remaining calm, working through a situation, and oftentimes running away and getting out of it is actually the better idea than engaging in a fight. So talking to kids about, I think it's a good thing to talk about, what do we do when situations rise, and whether it's bullying at school or as someone on the street or a stranger coming into your school, what do you do should be talked about, but not necessarily attack them, because generally speaking, for a high schooler, they're going to be stronger than you if an attacker is coming at you. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and especially for girls.
Yeah.
Because I think about this as a guy. I never really thought much about people attacking me because I'm like, oh, I'm strong. I can take care of it. But for girls, I think that's another level where I was talking to a girl recently who was saying there's like an unsung rule that if you get off a bus and someone's following you, you cross the street. And if they keep following you, then you cross the street again. And you're trying to like be somewhere as visible as possible. I've never ever considered that. And so I think for girls, it's much more.
Yeah, no, I've never thought of safety precautions. Like I'll go for a run at any time I want to go for a run. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think about, oh, it's getting dark out. I won't go for a run or do anything. I wouldn't like. There's no limitations I have for myself when I'm by myself. Like I don't really think about those things. And like Annalie, from a girl's point of view, are there more so? Do you think about those things often or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you just kind of don't. Yeah, you don't go for a run by yourself at night, or even where you go with a group or places, and you just generally do that though. Maybe it's just because girls don't want to be by themselves and they're just more fearful in general, but also because in Abbotsford, there was a lot of reports of attempted rape or rapes in our parks. And so that makes girls really scared. And so then they don't go out to those places at night. And I mean, it's a lot of just practical, logical thinking too, right? So it's working through that. Mm-hmm. And, but not necessarily going to a self-defense class, but I don't think that would be a bad idea just because it gives you confidence, like I said. And I think remaining calm is really, really important, or else you don't even know what to do because you can't even think straight.
Yeah. I think anytime you can learn tools is always a good thing. So whether, I mean, it's one of those things you'd hope you'd never need to use those tools in a horrific situation like that where a man or woman's, about to be harmed or worse, violated or something like that, taken advantage of. So it's those kind of skills I think are helpful to have. You'd hope you'd never use them. But I think if we were to look at scripture, the Bible talks about the sanctity of human life or the how that is a gift, right? And we should actually seek to preserve life. And so we can put ourselves in all these hypothetical situations. And we did this at Bible school when I was when I was doing my undergrad, if talking about pacifism. So what if, someone broke into your house and had your wife tied up and was about to, do this and this and this and was about to kill your kids, what would you do, So you can put yourself in all those hypothetical situations, and I don't always think they're the most helpful, but I think at every point, I think we should seek means to preserve human life at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has to do with abortion, that has to do with euthanasia. I think human life is valuable, and God's given it to us as a gift. And so, for sure, if there's, in my opinion, I think any of those, self-defense training or courses, I think they can be helpful. And I think we should seek to protect ourselves, because when Jesus says, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, when he says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile with him, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse to the one who would borrow from you. I don't think those are saying, if you're getting beaten up and curb stomp on the street, that you should just curl over and take it because Jesus told you to. Yeah. I think that's to misinterpret that passage, that scripture. Jesus isn't saying, be a doormat and let people go all over you. At the same time, as Christians, we have a great hope that doesn't end at death. And so we should seek to avoid death and preserve life and wear seatbelts and, be smart about things. But at the end of the day, should a shooter come into our church services or, our schools, these are horrific things that should be avoided. And we can get into discussion, should pastors and teachers carry firearms? Maybe. But aside from that, as Christians, our hope comes after death, and that it's eternal life. And we have saving faith in Jesus. And so that's the other thing I think is worth understanding, is that Christians, we don't need to fear death itself. However, if we're getting curb stomp or, someone's pursuing us to try and cause us harm or worse, we should seek, I think, actions to avoid that.
Yeah,
and I think that speaks to how we train or teach kids about violence and peacemaking, is that Christians are to be peacemakers and people who come in and intervene in situations.
Right.
And if you see a kid getting bullied, I mean, that's a great chance for you to step in. Like, what do you have to fear?
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily violently step in.
Not violently step in, but step in.
Just stand up.
Yeah.
For
I remember I was in grade 12. There was a kid, I was walking out to go out for lunch, and right in front of the doorway to go outside, there's these grade 9 or 10s all talking around, and there's like whispering, and then all of a sudden this one kid, this little bit bigger kid, punches this other guy right in the face. This pow, pops him right in the face. And I'm like watching this, and I'm like, what? And the guy got punched, his eyes start to tear. It was like a very cowardly punch. Like he called his name and then he looked over and then punched him right in the face. And so I got the kid, picked him up against the wall. I'm like, why'd you do that? And then he starts to like tear up. And I made him say sorry to him. And I mean, like, I think about stuff like that. Like, that's like what Christians are, like peacemakers. I didn't hurt the kid. I just made him apologize. But it's like stepping in for times when there is abuse, mistreatment in the world. When you see someone getting bullied, I think we should be teaching our kids to be that person who steps in and isn't afraid to tell a person off or to intervene and maybe get beat up because of it. I don't know. But to be willing to be someone other's whipping block, so to speak. So in that sense, I don't know. What do you guys think of that? Like, is that, do you guys think, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I think the Bible says a lot about, you know, standing up for those who don't have a voice or speaking up for the oppressed and taking a stand. I think for sure as Christians, that's why we care about, I mean, look at an organization like IJM. That's why they have devoted all of their assets and resources to standing up against injustice, against young women, young boys, young girls of slavery, sexual slavery, all these kinds of things. They're freeing the oppressed. And I think as Christians, absolutely, the oppression can look like slavery or prostitution or any of those things, but oppression can also be bullying as well. And so I think as Christians, absolutely, it is our time and place to stand up. James talks about that. Some of the prophets talk about that as well, the Old Testament.
Micah, right? Or is it?
Yeah, Micah 6:8. Google it. But yeah, for sure. I think as Christians, we should seek to be exactly that. Luke said it, peacekeepers, peacemakers at all costs. And we should seek means to protect life, preserve it, but also to knowing that we don't have to fear death. Mm-hmm. Death isn't the end.
Yeah. So I think when it comes down to it, like if your kid is getting bullied at school, I don't know if the best response is to show that kid how to beat up another kid. Mm. But in thinking about this and the message that we have and what Andrew was saying about the hope that we have, I think it's to teach kids to be fearless of whatever this world throws at us, because we have to remember where our confidence comes from and where our hope is, and that's in Christ coming back. Yeah. It's not going to be in you getting stronger and being able to defend yourself. It's in the saving news of what Jesus has done. And I think it's reminding the kids that, hey, kids, I know this sucks now, but just wait.
Yeah.
Christ is our ultimate defender, too, even of your identity getting attacked and people attacking your reputation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to defend. Like, if you are, you just be who you are in Christ. And, mm-hmm. like, yeah, it does suck, but you don't have to defend against that, because you know ultimately, in the end, Christ is your defense.
I think too, as parents and youth workers and pastors and, you know, leaders, that should be our primary focus, is to not, you know, Luke, going back to what you said, is to teach them and train them in the ways of Scripture. And yeah, Paul says it too, like, right, physical training is of some value, but essentially I'm going to meditate on God's word, because that's of infinite value. And so sure, yeah, can you work out and do jujitsu and other martial arts? Yeah, there's no problem with those. And even if you talk to people who are in martial arts, they have a very, very high regard for people.
They do. Right.
Because they learn respect. They learn how to use force. You know, they learn certain moves and certain holds, and I don't know anything about it. But it's always done respectfully.
I had friends who grew up doing judo all the time, and we'd be like, oh, come on, just flip me. Just flip me. Just come on. Just flip me. Throw me. And they wouldn't do it, because they learned that discipline.
Yep.
And they learned that, no, this is what you turn your body into a weapon. Mm-hmm. And they don't ever have to do that.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting. My sister did, she did the national kickboxing in Old Abbotsford for a couple of years, almost got to a black belt, I think. Like, she got close. She did a lot. And for her, one, it was good fitness.
Yeah.
Two, it was that confidence. But three, if anything ever happened, her body would go into that, you know, as Annalie mentioned, like that state of just reaction, and you're calm and you can assess the situation and get, like, she would learn how to get out of chokeholds and things and be able to get away.
Yeah.
Things like that. And so I think that's a really useful tool and a lot of fun. Even the owner, I talked to him, I said, oh, come on. So have you ever beaten someone up? Come on, you're the kickboxing guy. He said, you know, the only time he's actually ever used his training was he had to fight a couple of drunk guys off a girl in a park one time. Like, and that was the only time he's ever done it. And he when he was young.
Oh, right? Wow.
So it's, you know, you hope to never have to use it.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today. This has been episode 42. And just to do some fact checking, I said Parksville. It's Parkland.
Oh, gosh.
In Florida. So.
That's great.
That sounds like somewhere I'd like to go. Parkland.
Parkland.
Doesn't sound good?
Because it says it's like Disneyland.
Yeah, but
there
it's
you go.
Park.
It's park.
Like Sesame Street.
You got like no. Teeter-totters.
Sesame Street is a street.
What about Park World? Disney World.
I'd Florida. Go there.
I want to say this. I don't actually hate Greek food. I just think it's overrated. So before everyone labels me, I didn't get to say this during my rant. Before everyone comes to me saying, oh, you hate Greek food, I actually don't hate it. I just...
You just think there's better food.
I do, yeah.
That's fair. And I'll say this.
I think everyone agrees with that there's better food than Greek food.
But my tick is when people begin to defend what is such an average.
But Annalie will even say there's better food than Greek food. Greek food is not her favorite.
There you go.
But I'd also just like to say that the Here's the Thing segment ends when it's over. So, Daniel, next time you join us.
Well, it looks like, folks, I won't be coming back, but you can listen to the extra podcast.
Luke, how do people tell us what they want us to talk about?
You can email us at pbtw@northview.org.
BTW?
BTW.
Or is that B2W?
Between Two Worlds.
Between Two Worlds at northview.org.
That's the name of this podcast.
BTW.
BTW.
We've tried to make it easy, folks. B2W, BTW, Between Two Worlds, anything you can think of.
All right, let's say it one more time because now I'm confused.
BTW@northview.org.
Mm.
So it's easy.
That is easy. Say it one more time, Luke.
BTW
at
see you guys next week.